Ryan again, and good morning, everybody. Welcome again for my second talk. And actually, I'm a little bit worried talking 40 minutes at a lymphoma meeting about a disease that is not a lymphoma. But it's one of the most important differential diagnoses of lymphoma for pathologists and for clinicians, at least in Switzerland. It's treated by hematologists and oncologists, and it's a very difficult to treat disease. And we got over the last years some new insights into that complex disease, including a recent workshop we had within the European Association for Hematopathology. I was the chair of that workshop. We collected nearly 80 cases of Castleman disease from all over the world, really highlighting the spectrum of the disease. And this was the reason why I decided to give this talk here. So this is the outline. I will make a brief introduction in Castleman disease and then talk about classification. There are kind of two different classifications, a clinical classification, basically based on imaging and clinical presentation, and a pathological classification based on what we see under the microscope, and then talk about these two different diseases, unicentric Castleman disease and MCD, multicentric Castleman disease. I will also touch briefly on two recent developments, that there might be something else, that is oligocentric Castleman disease, which is not yet in the classification, but might be there in the future, and a new potential variant of multicentric Castleman disease, that is IPL, idiopathic plasmacytic lymphadenopathy. So when Benjamin Castleman, a pathologist at Mass General Hospital, first described Castleman disease in 1954 in the New England Journal, he described a series of 13 cases in the mediastinum, what he described as resembling thymoma, grossly and microscopically, and they had a peculiar capillar proliferation. Today, we know, to the best of our knowledge, these have been cases of unicentric hyaline vascular Castleman disease. And then for a remarkably long time, nothing happened. You know, there were maybe one or two other case reports, but it took about 20 years, or more than 20 years, that the multicentric form of the disease has been described. Another 7 years later, the association with HIV, or in particular with the disease, with AIDS, has been described. And 10 years later, as you know, HHV-8 has been identified in cases of multicentric Castleman disease in HIV-positive patients. 5 years later, in 2000, an idiopathic form, so HHV-8 negative, of multicentric Castleman disease was described. And in some of these cases, an overlap with a clonal plasma cell proliferation, POEM syndrome, was described. And about 15 years ago, a subtype of IMCD, in particular in Asia, but also in Western country, TAFO. And I will discuss with you all these variants. So Castleman disease is a very complex and heterogeneous entity. And if you forget everything about this talk, this you should remember. Just this slide, it's not a single disease. This is an umbrella term for multiple different diseases. They have different etiologies, as far as we know for now, different clinical presentations and different outcomes, and different histological appearance. So there is a spectrum of histopathological features. The incidence is about 10, maybe 15 cases per million per year, so maybe you will have 70 or 80 cases in Ireland a year. And on the right-hand side, you can see a cartoon of our modern understanding of Castleman disease, thanks to the pioneering work of David Feigenbaum and Angela Dispensieri. David Feigenbaum is a rheumatologist, as far as I know. He suffers actually from idiopathic multicentric Castleman disease, and he really pushed scientific work in this disease. So Castleman disease is basically divided clinically in UCD and MCD. UCD is kind of the simple variant. This is a benign disease that can easily be treated by surgery. And then the multicentric variant. The multicentric variant is much more complex. We have POEM syndrome. I'm not going to talk about that, but that, because this is basically a plasma cell disorder. But then we have the HHV-A positive MCD. typically in HIV-positive individuals, but also in individuals with other types of immunosuppression. And we have the idiopathic MCD, that is per definition HHV-8 negative, and there's one subtype that is called TAFRO. And this comes along with a typical histopathology. So in the UCD, the vast majority of the cases belong to the hyaline vascular subtype. Whereas in HHVA positive MCD, they are always plasma cell rich or plasmacytic subtype. And then you have, of course, mixtures and variants, and you have other histological features. I'll come to that in a minute. But that's the concept that you really should remember how we consider Castleman disease today. So for the first time, Castleman disease in the WHO-5 has been included in a tumor classification, although it's not a neoplasm. Yeah? But it has been included in the WHO-5 of lymphomas under the chapter of tumor-like lesions with pre-cell predominance. UCD, IMCD, and HHVA-positive MCD are included. The ICC, the International Consensus Classification, does not consider reactive lesions and therefore has not been included. As I've told you yesterday, we work on a single unified lymphoma classification again. It will be most likely a WHO-6 and not an ICC-2. And I was invited to join the working group of Castleman disease. So Castleman disease will remain in the next classification, but we will refine it because there is a lot of work to do. So clinical classification. The most important thing is clinical presentation. Is it unicentric or multicentric? Unicentric means a single enlarged lymph node or multiple lymph nodes in one single station. Usually these patients are completely asymptomatic. Rarely they have constitutional symptoms, but completely asymptomatic. The multicentric variant, you have enlarged lymph nodes in at least two, but usually it's really a generalized adenopathy in Castleman disease, a multicentric variant, and the patients are ill. They have usually severe inflammatory symptoms, a completely clinically different picture. As I told you before, there are two papers now that describe a new variant or something that is in between, is always in science. You know, the deeper you dig, the more closely you look, you will find borderline cases, overlapping features, whatsoever. An oligocentric variant has been described. These are patients that have enlarged lymph nodes in two or three, but adjacent stations, so not a generalized adenopathy. They have mostly hyaline vascular histology, so typical for unicentric Castleman disease. They have mild symptoms, somehow in between UCD and MCD, but usually mild. And according to this few publication, localized therapy, in particular surgical therapy, excision is usually sufficient, and there is a very good overall survival. It remains to be seen whether this will be really a true new clinical variant of Castleman disease. The histological classification consists mainly of two main variants. One is the hyaline vascular variant, which shows this hyalinization of the stroma, which is this amorphic eosinophilic material, which is nothing else that thickened blood vessel because there is an increase in vascularity. And the most important sign is these follicles with atrophic germinal centers. You can here see a small germinal center, which is a depletion of lymphocytes, a relative increase in follicular dendritic cells, and these vessels that penetrate the mantle zone and reach the germinal center here. The other main type is the plasma cell, or plasma cell rich, or plasma cell pathology. You can see here two germinal centers that show somewhat Castleman-like features with a little bit of onion skinning and also small germinal centers, but the main findings is this expanded interfollicular zone, which is very rich in plasma cells, as you can see here in this nice scheme sustain, a lot of plasma cells, which of course are polytypic. Now, when it comes to pathology, to the histological classification of Castleman disease, it's a little bit more complex than just hyaline vascular and plasma cell type. There are several different histological features that have been carefully assessed by pathologists to come up with a diagnosis of Castleman disease, and they have been graded. So first of all, the diagnosis requires a lymph node excision. You cannot make a diagnosis of Castleman disease on a core needle biopsy. It's really impossible. You need an excisional biopsy. And then before you end up with either hyaline vascular, plasmacytic, or mixed cases, you have to really carefully check these five histological features, so regressed germinal centers, relative increase in follicular dendritic cells, vascularity, hyperplastic germinal centers, and plasmacytosis. And it has to be graded. I know very well the problems with grading. You know, it's the same like in follicular lymphoma, grading of follicular lymphoma, yes or no, with all the problems. But this has been introduced at least to have a starting point, to really sort out or rule out cases that have Castleman-like features. The problem is that so many lymph nodes have Castleman-like features. I will show you cases later on that are not Castleman. And it helps at least to standardize the diagnostic approach to Castleman disease with all limitations that grading has. Of course, it's very subjective. But it's now there, it's in the WHO, and probably it will remain there also in the new classification. So let's start with UCDs, kind of the easier subtype. Typically clinical presentation, young adults, they have a single localized mass in the mediastinum on the abdomen, or the abdomen, but many, many different locations have been described. As I've already said, most patients are asymptomatic, so has been just an incidental finding. The diagnosis has to be made on an excision biopsy. It is a diagnosis of exclusion. That's the most important thing. Rule out lymphoma. I will show you cases. Most of the cases by histology are hyaline vascular, a few plasma cell variant or mixed types. A surgical resection is sufficient and no systemic therapy is needed. That's the typical histological presentation. So you have these regressed germinal centers, you have an expanded mantle zone, you have these atrophic germinal centers, you have a hypervascular interfollicular zone, you have vessels that penetrate the mantle zone. This creates a picture like at least similar to onion skin. The lymphocytes in the mantle zone, or this penetration of vessel here, has also been called a lollipop sign. This is highly typical of hyaline vascular Castleman disease. What is really interesting about hyaline vascular Castleman disease or unicentric Castleman, nobody in the room, nobody in the world know what is the cell of origin. What is it? Is it a reactive, probably a reactive lesion? Is it a hematoma? Is it a low-grade mesenchymal neoplasm? Is it driven by a pathogen, an infectious pathogen? We have no idea. Well, there have plenty of studies, but nobody knows what is the cell of origin. The lymphoid tissue, which is so prominent, most likely is reactive, but some studies, a few studies, have suggested clonal proliferations based on X chromosome inactivation or conventional cytogenetics. Certainly there is no association with HHV8. There are some cases that are stroma rich and show heterologous differentiation. And you can see in some cases dysplastic stroma cell or dysplastic follicular dendritic cells. So it might be a cause of follicular dendritic cell sarcoma, in particular because up to 20% of the cases of hyaline vascular Castleman disease are associated with follicular dendritic cell sarcoma. So this is a rather strong association, and recently PDGFRB mutations have been described in 10 to 20% of the cases, but that was a single study, in my opinion, very well-designed study, but it needs confirmation. Another peculiar finding is that many cases of hyaline vascular Castleman disease contain indolent T lymphoblastic proliferation within the stroma, so lymphoblasts outside the thymus, which actually must not occur. They are polyclonal, but this is a very strange finding. We don't know what is the cell of origin of hyaline vascular Castleman disease. The differential diagnosis, and that's the important part for the pathologist, you know, because as I said, many cases, many other pathologies, other diseases have Castleman-like features. So the differential diagnosis are lymphoma. And it's not just follicular lymphoma, it's really follicular lymphoma because you have an increase in follicles. It's mantle cell lymphoma because you have an expanded mantle cell lymphoma. It's marginal zone lymphoma because you have many plasma cells there. It can be TFH lymphomas because of the vascularity, you know, angioimmunoblastic, it looks very similar. It can be T lymphoblastic lymphoma because of the T lymphoblasts that are there. And of course, classic Hodgkin lymphoma with the sclerosing. I've seen cases of lymphoma, all that have been misdiagnosed as Castleman disease, all type B T Hodgkin lymphoma. sarcoma, follicular dendritic cell sarcoma, other sarcomas because of the expansion, the stroma-rich variants. And in cases of mixed or plasmacytic variant, of course, IgG4-related disease is a very important differential diagnosis, or just a non-specific reactive lymphadenopathy. And I show you here a very impressive case from last year's workshop. This case was submitted from Spain. It's a male, 70 years old. He is symptomatic. He has weight loss, abdominal pain, and an adenopathy in the right inguinal. This is so an excisional biopsy was performed, and this is the EHND. And to be honest, I don't know. I mean, on a Friday evening, if I just wouldn't have signed out this case as Castleman disease without any immune. Okay, the clinical information suggests that it might be something else that hired him up because the patient is symptomatic. But if I had received this note as usual just from the surgeon, adenopathy, malignant question mark, without any other clinical information, it might be really very misleading. Because if you look here, you see a little follicular hyperplasia, you see these atrophic follicles. In the interfollicular zone, you see this vascularity, the small vessels. Here's some onion skinning, even penetrating vessels. Looks perfect. Oh, it's a textbook case, a picture in a pathology book about Castleman disease, hyaline vascular. But then the pathologist in Spain, for whatever reason, they did a BCL2 stain. The BCL2 is positive in the germinal center. This, of course, must not occur in a reactive condition. This is incompatible with any reactive process. They did a fish, a BCL2 translocation. You can hear see the separate signals. Also, BCL6 was translocated. They extracted the DNA, could show a clonal immunoglobulin rearrangement, and could, by NGS, they did a panel, a lymphoma panel, KMT2D, which is the most frequently mutated gene in follicular lymphoma, followed by BCL2 point mutation, which is also very frequent in follicular lymphoma due to the translocation. There is ongoing somatic hypermutation and some other mutations. So this is a follicular lymphoma, grade 1, with Castleman-like features. One of these cases is really, really misleading, Castleman-like features. And this was another case of the workshop from New York. It was a female, 60-year-old. She had a paratracheal mass, slightly more than five centimeters, maximum diameter, and a history of endometrial cancer. Again, very typical Castleman features here, the atrophic follicle, the onion skinning of the mantle zone, but in the interfollicular zone, you can see the spindle cell proliferation with some atypical spindle cells here. And if you do the stains for follicular dendritic cell, on the right-hand side, you can see a pre-existent follicle, like here, with this relative increase in follicular dendritic cell. That's physiological. But here, also in the interfollicular zone, where, of course, no follicular dendritic cells are physiologically, the cells are positive for CD23, and they have been positive for other markers for follicular dendritic cells. So this is a follicular dendritic cell sarcoma associated with hyaline vascular Castleman disease. Again, this can occur in up to 20% of the cases of hyaline vascular Castleman disease. Okay, let's move now to MCD, multicentric Castleman disease. This is also now really relevant for the clinicians in the room, because this is a disease that has actually a bad prognosis and is very difficult to treat, and as I told you, in Switzerland, treated by oncologists and hematologists. I already mentioned I'm not going to talk about plasma paraneoplastic syndrome of plasma cell neoplasm, but I'll talk about HHV8 and idiopathic MCD. The epidemiology looks like this here, so about 2/3 of the cases of MCD are HHV8 positive, and 1/3 of the cases are IMCD. This clinical separation, you know, not the histological, the clinical separation, UCD versus MCD is really important, because UCD, as I've told you, this is a 10-year overall survival data here from China, but it has been confirmed in many smaller series from Europe and the US, has more or less a normal overall survival like an age-matched general population. But if you have MCD, your 5 and 10 year survival is below, or is maybe around 50%. And I mean, you know that better than I, but if you compare that to different cancers, it's about the same as colorectal cancer. These are data from the US. It's much worse, of course, than Hodgkin lymphoma and many, many other epithelial cancers. So is a multicenter carcinoma disease is not a clonal disorder, but a very serious disease and difficult to treat. First, HHV-8-associated MCD. The clinical features, the patients have systemic inflammatory symptoms. There's a generalized adenopathy, usually also hepatosplenomegaly and effusions. It's an IL-6-driven disease. So you have high serum levels of IL-6. Most of the patients are HIV positive. The remaining have some other type of immunosuppression, post-transplant or whatsoever, iatrogenic. About up to 20% of those patients develop lymphoma, usually HHVA-associated lymphomas, DLBCL or PIL. And very frequently, you will also find Kaposi sarcoma in these patients in the lymph node. The prognosis, I've already said, is rather poor. So HHVA-positive prognosis is poorer than the IMCD. This is the most difficult to treat. Histologically, you have, this one, to be honest, in a case of HHVA-positive MCD, I do not grade the features. I mean, that's clear, you know. You have to think that you do an HHV-8 stain. If you see these follicles and the plasmacytosis and I do the HHV-8 and it's positive, I mean, then I don't have to grade. It is what it is. The grading is important in the idiopathic because there you do not have a marker. So you have MCD-like morphology. You have this HHV-positive plasmablasts. I'll show you in a minute. Most of the cases are plasmacytic, some mixed. These plasmablasts may form small cluster or larger aggregates. They have called microlymphomas. This is no longer accepted or no longer recommended or accepted. Because you as clinicians, you probably are not happy if you receive a report from a pathologist where it reads there is a microlymphoma, you know. But basically, conceptually, it makes sense, and I'll show you why. And there are plasmablasts that are positive for HHV-8. And show monotypic IgM lambda, they are negative for 79A1CD38. And there is a gray zone between HHVA-positive MCD, HHV-positive DLBCL, I'll show you in a minute, and other HHV-8-associated lymphoproliferation, such as germinotropic lymphoproliferative disorder and extracavitary PIL. This is such a case of an HHVA-positive MCD, so you see the atrophic follicle here, you see the penetrating vessels, and of course there's plasmacytosis in the interfollicular zone, but on higher power, you can see these large cells here. Look at these cells, or these cells two times or three times the size of a small surrounding lymphocyte. If you see such a picture, even if you do not have the clinical information that there is an HIV-positive or immunosuppression or whatsoever, do your immuno, and do immuno, not DNA extraction and PCR for HHV-8, because this might be circulating lymphocytes, or even Kaposi sarcoma. I've seen Kaposi sarcoma cases where there is also Kaposi. You have to really do immuno, because then you have the in situ picture. You know where the virus is. And you can see here is the germinal center, and in the mantle zone, that so these large cells, are positive for HHV-8, and they always clonal lambda, although the remaining plasma cells in the interfollicular zone are polyclonal, but these plasma blasts are clonal lambda and IgM. So this is prototypic. If you have this picture, don't grade plasmacytosis, and it is what it is. The problem is another one. The problem is the separation from other HHV-8-associated LPDs. It's a little bit like EBV, you know? I mean, once you have done your HHV-8, you have the case in the right box. But then still you have to sort out what is, like EBV. I mean, is it EBV-positive DLBCL? Is it EBV-mucocutaneous ulcer? Is it EBV-positive Hodgkin? Is it EBV-positive polymorphic? It's very difficult with the EBV story. It's a little bit similar with HHV-8, okay? Prototypic cases are easy, but there is a spectrum. Therefore, this term microlymphoma. There's a spectrum from HHV-positive MCD to HHV-positive DLBCL. I'll show you a case in a minute. And of the very rare gametotropic LPD, and of course, cases of pale primary effusion lymphoma that can present as a solid mass, the so-called extracavitary PIL. Usually these cases are EBV-positive, then it's easy, but some cases of extracavitary PIL can be EBV-negative. So now this concept of microlymphoma, which a term we should no longer use, but is still there in the literature, and basically now it's called plasmablastic aggregates. These HHV-positive plasmablasts can be found or are found in the mantle zone of HHV-positive MCD. They are negative for B-cell antigen, I've already told you that, and they may form non-disruptive aggregates in the mantle zone, in the germinal center, but also interfollicular, and then it might be difficult to separate it from early lymphoma or full-blown HHV-positive DLBCL. It's not diagnostic of a lymphoma on their own, but they can progress to HHV-positive MCD, and this is also underlined because there is a high risk of lymphoma in HIV-positive person, and is 15 times higher in those with MCD versus those without MCD. So this cartoon here highlights the concept of how these plasmablasts form these plasmablastic aggregates and then transform to diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. This is a case I received in consultation from Brazil, Dr. Bucky. From time to time, he sends me cases in consultation by digital pathology, usually very difficult cases, and this is such a case, really highlighting the differential diagnostic problem. This is a male, I think he was somewhere between 30 and 40 years old, HIV positive, that was known, and a generalized lymphadenopathy. This is the H&D stain. Here you can see a follicle, again, a very atrophic germinal center. There is another ill-defined follicle, there is another one, and there is a huge expansion of the interfollicular zone. Here that looks like some larger cells. And if you look to the immune, you see HHV8. Here you can see it in the mantle zone. This is the typical, but look here. HHV8 now is also extending between the follicles. But still, overall, the overall architecture is somewhat preserved. It's just an expansion of the interfollicular zone. If you do lambda in MCD, HHVA positive would be just here, but here, lambda is now everywhere, is clonal in the interfollicular zone, and you can see here, a very high proliferation rate. So this small germinal center physiologically has a high proliferation rate. You see the plasmablast here proliferating, but also here. So Carlos sent me this case, how to call it? Is it already EBV positive DLBCL, or is this still HHVA positive MCD with a micro lymphoma that you can see here? So it's just, I mean, it's really difficult. I think this is HHV-positive MCD with plasmablastic aggregates, but I would make a comment that this kind of early or beginning transformation in HHV-positive DLBCL. This just highlighted that the cases exist. There's a continuum from HHV-positive MCD to HHV-positive DLBCL. So the challenges of these HHV8 positive LPD are, first of all, they are really rare. This is, I mean, PEL, HHV-MCD, HHV-DLBCL, this is rare. It's not like DLBCL-NOS that we have weekly, you know, it's rare. And there are overlapping clinical, morphological, and immunophenotypic features. I have already discussed that with you, I will not repeat it here. Importantly also, HHV8-positive LPDs frequently co-occur. So 10 to 20% of HHV-positive multicentric carcinoma and disease have concurrent or subsequent lymphoma, including also Kaposi sarcoma. And you really, it requires a holistic approach, including clinical features, imaging, pathology, and molecular studies to sort this, to sort it out. So now let's move to idiopathic MCD. Idiopathic MCC clinically, again, you have systemic inflammatory symptoms, fever, fatigue, renal dysfunctions, and others. There is a generalized lymphadenopathy, and is also a cytokine-driven disease. Again, IL-6 is very prominent, so there's a kind of cytokine storm, and polyclonal hypergammaglobulinemia. Per definition, the case has to be HHV8 negative. That's the definition of IMCD. And the diagnosis really is interdisciplinary, so it requires morphological, clinical, and laboratory findings. I'll show in a minute. And of course, like in the UCD, you have to exclude the mimickers, infections, malignancies, and in particular, autoimmune inflammatory symptoms, you know, because all these collagenous diseases, autoimmunity, they of course cause polyclonal hypergammaglobulinemia and lymph node infiltration by plasma cells, a very similar picture. There are two, maybe in the future, three subtypes. I show you in a minute, but according to WHO and current classification, there are two subtypes. One is the NOS, and the other one is TAFRO. I'll come to that in a minute. So the histopathology, now again, just briefly, I don't want to bore you, and many of you in the room are clinicians with histological detail. Now, here we have to grade, okay? Because it's HHV-8 negative, therefore it's more difficult to rule out mimickers. Again, if it's HHV positive, don't worry about the grade. I mean, it can only be HHV positive MCD, if the typical picture. Here, can be so many mimickers, autoimmune disorder, whatever, therefore, it has been, a grading has been introduced. And the grading refers to the regressed germinal centers and the plasmacytosis, not the other features. So pathologists have to grade, in particular, regressed germinal centers and plasmacytosis, because these two features have the strongest association with the with IMCD. And grade, at least grade 2 is required for one of those two. It can be two, both, but for one of those two, regressed germinal centers or plasmacytosis, you need a grade 2. Then you have one of the three major criteria fulfilled, and then you need another one, that is general adenopathy, per definition. And of course, it has to be HHHV negative. These are the major criteria, and then you have minor criteria. Okay, again, it's a complex disease. Really, you have to fulfill these criteria to sort out other diseases. So there are laboratory criteria that you can see here, and clinical criteria. And of those two minor criteria, at least one has to be a laboratory criteria. It can be both laboratory, no clinical, but one has to be a laboratory. And you have all three major and two minor. One of them a laboratory, you can make a diagnosis of IMCD, provided also that you have excluded infections, EBV, COVID. Actually, we have published that. We have seen lymph nodes of COVID patients, also post-vaccination. Lymphadenopathy, COVID positive, that look very much like Castleman. You know, you have this plasmacytic hyperplasia, so rule out this. Malignancies, lymphoma, myeloma, of course, other lymphomas, and I think that's the most important thing, all these collagenous diseases, autoimmune, and immune dysregulation. You have really rule out these disorders before you end up with a diagnosis of IMCD. Then the two subtypes, there is one specific subtype that is TAFRO. TAFRO stands for thrombocytopenia, anasarca fever, bone marrow myelofibrosis, and renal dysfunction, and organomegaly. And if you have not all five criteria fulfilled, even if you have four, it's not enough to call it TAFRO, then it's NOS, not otherwise specified. If you look at this picture here, just very briefly, you can see that many of the features, age, systemic symptoms, adenopathy, is very similar between the two. So the main features that are different are the pathological features. IMCD, NOS usually is plasma cell variant, where you have more hypervascular mixed variants in TAFRO. And the clinical course, TAFRO is a very aggressive subtype. And maybe, I think this is clinically relevant, not for pathologists, but for clinicians, there is a new subtype that will enter the classification in the working group of the new WHO. We're now discussing that intensely. There is only two papers. That is MCD, IPL, idiopathic plasmacytic lymphadenopathy. Per definition, not TAFRO, so the TAFRO criteria are not fulfilled. You have plasmacytic histopathology, you have polyclonal hypergammaglobulin thrombocytosis, and a few other characteristics, so lower hemoglobin and albumin, higher inflammatory symptoms, higher IL-6 levels than in typical NOS cases, and a better response to myeloma-like or IL-6 blocking treatments. The reason why this has gained interest is basically from that very recent publication, where it shows that if you have IPL, IMCD subtype, you have this is nearly 20 years here, you have an excellent overall survival. It's very similar like UCD. Up to now, these are just considered NOS patients, and it's very different from the other NOS patients, which still is rather poor overall survival. So, but it remains to be seen whether this can be confirmed as a new subtype. So, come to the end, the spectrum of Castleman disease ranges from clinically unicentric Castleman disease to multicentric Castleman disease. A new variant has been described, oligocentric, which is two or three lymph node stations adjacent to each other. Oligocentric Castleman disease is very similar to unicentric Castleman disease histologically, but also clinically. Maybe these patients just need surgery. I mean, this is important for you as clinicians. Don't treat them with anti-IL-6 or even myeloma-like or lymphoma-like therapy. I think it needs confirmation, but if it's true, I think it's a very important new finding. And then there might be a new variant within the IMCD, also with a very, very good, is an excellent prognosis, the idiopathic lymphadenopathy, idiopathic plasmacytic lymphadenopathy. So to summarize, Castleman disease is an umbrella term, it's not a single disorder. It includes several different, etiologically completely unrelated diseases, one of them driven by a virus, HHV-8, the other we know, we don't know. For unicentric, we don't even know whether it's clonal or not. It has different histological variants, hyalinvascular, plasma cell rich, or plasmacytic variant, and mixed. WHO recommends grading of histological features, in particular in the idiopathic MCD. The most important separation is clinically unicentric versus multicentric. Oligocentric might be a potential new variant. In multicentric Castleman disease, the first step is to do HHV-8. Then it's one box. And if it's HHV-8 negative, either it's NOS, TAFRO, maybe in the future, idiopathic plasmacytic lymphadenopathy is provisional for now. And POEMS MCD is somewhat separated as a plasma cell neoplasm. The diagnosis really, really is interdisciplinary. So we have to work together. It's histopathology, the clinical feature, and laboratory criteria. And keep in mind, rule out all these mimickers, the many, many different diseases, lymphomas, sarcomas, inflammatory disorders that histologically show Castleman-like features. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions if there are.